And if you make your way to chapter 11 and find your way to verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, and our text this morning would take us to the end of verse 22. There are many things that bring hardship to the life of a believer in Christ. Some of them are not of our own doing, and they are simply a manifestation of that curse which God warned our ancestor Adam of back in the Garden of Eden at the time of creation. Take, for example, the difficulty that a believer has with ill health, and for that matter, an untimely death, from our perspective, that is. As we enter into our aged years, the rigors of old age begin to rack us in so many ways. That, my friends, is simply a manifestation of the truth that I mentioned but a moment ago. That when God entrusted Adam with the work upon the earth and entrusted him with his word and to obey his word, God warned that if he disobeyed, then dying he would surely die. And that's simply what happens as we enter into our aged years. But this morning I don't want to talk on those regards. I want to speak specifically in the times whereby in our lives, where we at the very prime of our lives, as it were, we are stricken. Because that was the calamity that had come to the people of Corinth. The believers in Christ at Corinth had in their midst folk who were sickly and who had died an untimely death. And there was good reason for that. We will see from our text this morning an inconvenient truth that if a believer in God walks in disobedience, it is certain chastisement will come their way. And that just chastisement may well be through an untimely death or through a sickness or illness. You see, we need to understand, as we come to a text of Scripture which deals with the Lord's Supper, there is something that I want to share with you. The passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17 and going right through to the end of the chapter, is one that deals with the Lord's Supper. And here's the amazing thing. We often think, or we fail to recognize and see, that actually Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, was written before the Gospels. This was a letter written to a church under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit before the Gospel of Matthew had been written, before the Gospel of John had been written, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. And so we tend to think that actually all of the teaching that has surrounded us as regards the Lord's Supper is found in the Gospels. But here, my friends, is the very first utterance by God through the Holy Spirit to the church as regards the procedures, as regards the whole purpose for the Lord's Supper. It would therefore heed us well to look to this. And that's why I will be doing over the next 3 Sundays and consecutively, as God gives us opportunity, 3 sermons in connection with the Lord's Supper. Today I'm going to deal with just the first aspect whereby we are encouraged, we are exhorted to guard against the perversion of the Lord's Supper. Lord willing, next Sunday we will look at the purpose of the Lord's Supper and the responsibility given for us to guard the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And then, Lord willing, the Sunday thereafter, we will look at guarding oneself in the right preparation for the Lord's Supper. This is not something just to be set aside. We at Everglen will, as we have committed, we will preach and teach the whole counsel of God, as inconvenient and as unpalatable as it may be from time to time. And today there is a rebuke that is given to the church at Corinth. They were perverting the Lord's Supper. And it is important that we too search out and make sure that we are not perverting the Lord's Supper. You see, let me begin by reminding us, and we saw this last Sunday evening, and we have the opportunity of seeing it again this Sunday evening. God has given to the church two ordinances: the ordinance of believers' baptism and the ordinance of communion, or as we refer to, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. With the ordinance of baptism, we find in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go therefore," says the Lord Jesus Christ, "and make disciples of all nations." By the way, the verb in that sentence in the Greek is not the go, it is the make disciples. So make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are wonderful truths that we will yet get to in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But for the moment, there are some things that the church needed to understand, the church in Corinth, as regards their perverting the Lord's Supper. And I pray we would earnestly ensure that's not within our midst as we look at this. The conduct of those in Corinth needed to be corrected. Things needed to be set in order. And the calling of the Corinthians to sanctity in their observance of the Lord's Supper, that is a call made to them and made to the true church of Jesus Christ in this day. And so that's why I want to begin with but my first point, which is guarding against the perversion of the Lord's Supper. Look with me at verses 17 through to 22 as I read for us from our text, and then as I come back and highlight some aspects of perversion. Look first at verse 17. "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this, I will not praise you." Let us pray. Father, we come before you. We see that there are some things that the church at Corinth, some 2,000 years, needed to understand. Help us, Lord, to search out and ensure that those trappings are not evident within our own body. We want to thank you for this time that we have in your word, and this time whereby we can encourage one another and love one another, and showing forth that by this we will be known as your disciples. For you have rescued us, you have saved us, and we have been bought with that precious blood of Christ. We haven't been redeemed with gold or silver, which perishes by fire. But we are truly overwhelmed and thankful for that which is ours now, to listen to you. So help me to share these truths with these your precious blood-bought people, such that hearts would be impacted, lives would be changed, and decisions would be made for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want us to see firstly, Paul says, but in giving this instruction. Now that gives us an idea that there has been a subject change. If you cast your eye back to the very beginning of chapter 11, verse 1, he says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you because you remember everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand, he says in verse 3, that Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. You see, what Paul is doing is he's now responding to some questions, or he's bringing about some teaching specifically in areas that the church at Corinth needed to understand. This time, at the very beginning of